Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
I think it is unconscionable that they would want to build a mosque here because you're building a shrine to the very ideology that inspired those jihadist attacks.
Why does Comedy Central give such deference to Islam while mocking Christianity? Is it because they confuse the civility of Christianity with weakness?
Go read one of the presidential proclamations about the National Day of Prayer and Kwanzaa and Ramadan, and all of a sudden, Constantine doesn't look like this dead figure of history. He's living and breathing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel, and I love Issues, etc.
He is called an apostle, although he's not numbered among the original 12. He is most certainly a traveling companion of St. Paul, another apostle, and in some way acquainted with Mark. We presume the author of the Gospel of Mark. He seems to have his fingerprints all over the New Testament, and his name, Son of Encouragement, says a lot about the message that Barnabas, whether you call him an apostle or not, Barnabas, this companion of Paul in the New Testament, had to say to the earliest Christians. Greetings and welcome to Issues, etc. on this Friday afternoon, June the 11th, this day the church remembers Barnabas the apostle. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After a short conversation about the apostle Barnabas, we'll be talking with Bishop C. Fitzsimmons Allison about the cruelty of heresy. Dr. Peter Scare joins us to remember Barnabas. He's assistant professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be with you, Todd.
What's the most important thing that the church ought to remember about Barnabas on this day?
Well, I love Barnabas. He's one of my favorite figures in the New Testament because what he is a bridge builder. There are many ways by which you can express the Christian faith, and there are many talents which ministers bring to the church that are given to them by our Lord. And it seems as if Barnabas truly had the spirit of encouragement. And he's the kind of guy you'd want at a contentious meeting, at a time when the church is divided, I think, by personality sometimes. Oftentimes it's doctrine, but other times it's we rub against one another in a kind of an unhealthy way. It seems as if Barnabas was generous of soul and generous of spirit and generous with what he had as far as money as well. So he's a great figure in the church, and we meet him in the book of Acts. His spirit of encouragement is first shown in chapter 4 of Acts, where they show the very good things that were happening in the early church and how Christians really saw one another as a family, and Barnabas expresses the beauty of generosity in the fact that he gives of himself. He sells a field that he owns, and it says he laid it at the apostles' feet as a kind of a gift to the church and a recognition, I suppose, that within the church we are all in this together as a family. So his gift was to the church for the sake of the poor and for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel. And what a great way to meet anybody through such generosity that he showed.
Should we refer to him as an apostle?
Yeah, I mean, the book of Acts does. And there are 12 apostles that are foundational in the gospels and in the book of Acts. And Barnabas is not numbered among them. But then again, neither is Paul numbered among the 12. That's to say, the original 12 that were in Jerusalem. However, Barnabas was instrumental in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And I know in your introduction you said that he was a traveling companion to Paul, which is true. But it's funny, when you look at the earlier references to Paul and Barnabas, the writer, Luke, actually does it the other way around. It says that Barnabas and Paul were traveling. So that, in a sense, early on, I think Barnabas had a kind of a position of leadership as he was bringing the Gospels to the Gentiles, but also introducing, in a way, Paul to the wider church.
So take us, if you would, into those passages wherein we find Barnabas, and answer some of these questions that persist about him. I mean, in spite of everything that we're told, some of the questions that persist about him is, what's the big deal when he and Paul have this falling out? What's his relationship to John Mark?
Well, the first thing is, I suppose, is maybe I shouldn't say convinced, but without Barnabas, I'm not sure whether Paul would have ever made it into the church. I suppose somebody else would have had to take that role. But when Paul has his conversion experience, the church was very wary. Certainly in Jerusalem, they were worried about him because Paul had been there holding coats, I suppose in some ways, as a ringleader or orchestrating the death of the martyr Stephen. So he was known for seeking out and breathing murderous threats. That was Paul. So when he had that conversion experience, the church was rightfully frightened and wondered whether they could trust Paul. And it was Barnabas himself who took upon the task of introducing Paul to the church. Now it's interesting. Everybody is so related to the New Testament. The more that you look at the New Testament, you recognize that it was really a church family, but it was also built upon families. Because Mark, or John Mark, the author of the second gospel, he appears to have been a cousin of Barnabas. And when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, Mark tagged along as kind of a junior member of that group. Now, we do know, for whatever reason, Mark left the missionary team. And my guess is he left because it was just simply too hard. He was a young man. He was used to a pampered lifestyle. He wasn't ready for the rigors of being on a missionary team and not knowing where you're going to sleep, not knowing, always when your next meal was. My guess is it became too difficult for him. So he left. Later on, we find out that he wanted to rejoin after the Jerusalem Council. He wanted to try again. And Barnabas wanted to give him a second chance. And it's interesting because Barnabas was the one, I suppose, who gave Paul a chance to come into the church. Well, when Mark wanted to go on the missionary team again to join Barnabas and Paul, there was evidently a kind of a big fight. They had it out. And they finally decided that they couldn't work together in that capacity anymore. They would each go their own ways. And then Paul got another partner by the name of Silas. And Barnabas, having that spirit of encouragement, took along Mark. And again, I say thank God for that. Thank God, because not only did Barnabas give us the Apostle Paul, but then I suppose you could say he rehabilitated Mark so that Mark went on to do great things, went on to, of course, write the second gospel and give that great service to the church. So Barnabas was instrumental. And it also shows you we can have disagreements about, kind of ordinary things in the church. And Paul had to do what he had to do. He felt like he had to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and he was going to gung-ho. And Barnabas did what he had to do because he recognized the potential in Mark. He gave Mark another chance, and then Mark's ministry blossomed, and so much so that later on he became also a help not only to the Apostle Peter, but then also to the Apostle Paul. So thank God for Barnabas in that.
Then I guess that leaves us finally here with the name Son of Encouragement, is sometimes said, how his name ought to be translated. In an age where Christianity is supposed to be happy and positive and never speak an ill word of anyone, properly orient us on this notion, given Barnabas as an example, of what it really means to be an encourager in the church today. About a minute and a half, Dr. Scare.
Well, I think, this is only a tiny bit off topic, but talking about encouragement, I think Barnabas is actually the one, I don't have proof of this at all, but I think he was the one who wrote Hebrews, which is a letter of encouragement. And encouragement is so necessary. It's not it's a word of hope. A word of hope, though, in the midst of a troubled world. It recognizes that life, and more particularly the Christian life, is often very difficult. when we encourage one another, we're not going to say, oh, it's all going to be okay. It'll work out in the end, to be sure, but there are going to be rough spots. But don't give up. It's like, keep running the race. I don't know. I don't see the finish line yet, but I can guarantee you, you can make it to the finish line. Keep it going. It's the kind of word you give to confirmands after they've been confirmed. You say, you got to keep running. You got to keep going. Know that the Lord will be with you. It's the spirit of Psalm 23, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the spirit that says, even in times of distress, the Lord will be with you. He'll give you the strength that you need. I mean, Barnabas is a manifestation, I suppose, of what the Holy Spirit's work is among us. He is a comforter. He is an encourager. He points our eyes towards Christ and lets us know that in the end, Christ will take care of us and will bring us through the difficulties which we now face. Not that the difficulties will be taken away, but he wants you to know that God can use you, will use you, and then will also take care of you. And that's the message, I think, of Barnabas.
Dr. Peter Scare is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day.
On the other side of this break, on this Friday afternoon, June the 11th, we're going to take up a weighty subject, that of heresy and of its human consequence. Our guest for the remainder of this Friday afternoon's Issues Etc. is Bishop C. Fitzsimmons Allison. He's written a book called The Cruelty of Heresy, An Affirmation of Christian Orthodoxy. We often say here on Issues Etc. that false teaching hurts people and that we are more in need of the creed today than ever before. You know, that's something Barnabas understood. He taught Christ rightly and thereby, without harming anyone, he truly encouraged the church then and today. We'll talk about the results of heresy with Bishop C. Fitzsimmons Allison right after this.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
What can a view from space teach us about God's care for His creation, His wisdom in ordering the universe, and the goodness of divine providence? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled The Work of His Hands. It's written by astronaut Jeffrey Williams. Colonel Williams spent 6 months aboard the International Space Station. You can purchase The Work of His Hands by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Work of His Hands.